father of my baby was.
All right, let's take a look. The Miss Cleo DNA test. I'm solely searching for the father of your baby. Oh, it's the one that's very unpleasant, okay?
Okay.
And he's also the one that had another girlfriend while he was sleeping with you.
Yes, he did.
Yep, that's him. That's the daddy.
Okay.
But you knew that?
I wasn't sure.
I don't know how. The baby looks just like him.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, so you were in denial because he has a funny little chin, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, and the baby have that same little chin.
Oh my God.
The cards can reveal things that you will never see by yourself. Call me now for your free tarot reading.
You are now listening to Cult Cinema Catacombs. These films exist. And here are your hosts, Roy Buckingham, Andrew Farmer, and Courtney Robertson.
I gotta say, we're sitting there, and all of a sudden we're hearing...
Pippin has tippy tappers. My dog has very long nails, and they're large and in charge.
We're trying to figure out what's going on, so I figured out. So that's why Andrew was talking about that. You know, it's just Gregory Hines all over the place, and I'm thinking it's that tap dancing spider from the Beetlejuice animated series, just coming down going tap 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 tap.
No, my dog has very loud. Well, I love you, Pippin. I know you're listening to the show because I'm going to make you listen to it with me.
Well, because that dog's got magic to do.
He does have magic to do. He's lovely. Welcome to Cult Cinema Catacombs. Ha! I said it this time. It's mine.
Why did you listen? I just want to know why you decided your one-man show of Liza Minnelli goes to get a glass of water needed to be put on during our show.
First of all, it's ginger beer with lime juice in it, so get your facts straight. Second of all, I needed it because I have to go into the taffy pit.
Okay.
Okay.
You said that just like Liza Minnelli. You really did. Oh, I didn't need to have this.
You're just mad.
Like I go into the taffy pit. Mama.
I'm just so excited.
Mama. You're just mad because we refused to let you talk about Dune. We're just letting you continue to build this.
I love it.
This lore. Until one day we do a 4-hour podcast with you just telling us what Dune is from the beginning of the first book through the end of his son's shitty books.
I can't wait to see Dune at the palace.
Dune!
This
I gotta go see Dune at the palace.
This is Arrakis.
And Mama was there.
And this is the worm.
Why are you doing
and
Kristen
weird? They fight each other.
No, it's... So Paul wants to do magic and his mom just wants him to do impressions and he won't do the voices.
And meanwhile, Timothy Chalamet is over there going, skip it up.
Oh shit. Is Timothy Chalamet not Paul? I thought Timothy Chalamet was Paul.
What you're describing right now is Dune, but it's also Arrested Development. And I kind of love it.
All he wants to do is magic, but his mom wants him to do the voice. That's all I know. Tommy Nebraska is there. Anywho, that's not what I want to go in the taffy pit about.
Tommy Nebraska.
Why are we descending into the taffy pit?
Well, this is your fault. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm actually airing some grievances. It is.
Not over the Rainforest Cafe?
No, this is from before that. We are still in the aftermath of Alcon.
Okay.
Uh-oh. And as part of Alcon, everybody's best friend Roy decided that there should be a 1 a.m. screening of Meet the Feebles. And I've had some time to think about it. I did see it. I watched the whole thing. I was awake the whole time.
Your reactions were priceless, by the way. They really were.
I had a lot of very thoughtful things that I wanted to say about this movie.
Meanwhile, Rick is sitting off to your right in like absolute pain. And
yeah, he's dying. The poor man. His leg is just
not from his ankle, but he's in pain because he's being forced to watch Meet the Feebles with a second child.
Well, that's two things.
It's also way past his bedtime.
Yeah.
So that's
it was way past my
bedtime. Oh, and by the way, this is the 4K restoration of Meet the Feebles, so you see all the details.
It was beautiful, I guess. But I've had some time to think about it. a couple of weeks to really like had it to sit in my brain and really germinate and ferment and do all those things. And Roy, that's a bad movie. Not good.
Did you think it was? Hold on. I got questions.
Did you? Because you heard the name directed by Peter Jackson, you thought it was going to be fucking King Kong again?
So everyone talks about it, and that talks about cult cinema. It's like one of the cult movies. It's like
hell, it's canon now in the Muppets universe. Yes. So, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, there's going to be like things in it that there's I can pull out and be like, so this right, thing right. is good. But the things in it are an AIDS scare. projectile vomit that did almost get me there toward the end. A lot of really conflicting things about what a hippo is and is not supposed to do.
Hippo nipples.
I saw her boobs. I did. They were in 4K. And a lot of Muppets that look like they had not been treated terribly well. and then someone got a gun.
But you got to admit, it gave us the gift of a hippo fighting with a cat after she called the cat a cheap pussy.
That was pretty funny. I did like that. I remember at one point, I can't remember if I said this to a friend of the show, Rick or Roy, I said, who am I supposed to want to root for?
you said that to me.
Because the protagonist is Vanilla Pudding, and then everyone else is a raging asshole.
No, you're supposed to root for the absolutely fed up and over it gay fox who gave us the gift of the musical number Sodomy.
Okay. More than anyone else, I guess.
Not Wobbut. I know you know.
Wobbut is the one who is Vanilla Pudding. I think my favorite character was the Case of Cakes.
That's you want to know something cool?
Yeah.
I've never seen this movie.
Hey, oh, don't.
Shit, we may have to fix this.
I've never seen it.
We may have to fix this, Courtney.
Listen, Andrew, don't.
We're booked through like.
We're booked through August at least.
This might be our 7th anniversary extravaganza next year's Meet the Feebles.
Who has a 7th anniversary extravaganza?
Us.
Stop making shit up just to make me watch the Meet the Feebles.
I mean, you didn't find the beauty and poetry in the Vietnam flashback explaining why the frog is addicted to heroin?
I sort of forgot about that, if I'm going to be honest with you. There is a lot that happens in this movie, and it was 2 a.m.
Deer one, I mean, it recreated the Deer Hunter. We've already had one movie we watched on this show that recreated the Deer Hunter. We need to continue that tradition. Jesus
Christ. It was a lot to take in after a full day of Games and Theory shenanigans, and then at the end of that, then we started Meet the Feebles. And so it was already a bit delirious.
Which was perfect. It was the perfect time to watch a movie.
No, I think that if I had been even a little bit more aware of my own faculties at the time, I might have tried to leave.
Yeah, but it was essentially a cult tactic.
It was. No, it
wore
was
you
that
out,
thing.
Wouldn't let you eat.
They only let me eat like a little bit of carbs and then nothing else.
Yep, and then you had to sit through this indoctrination.
Yes, I really did. I felt like Malcolm McDowell just watching it.
To think that man won an Academy Award.
Did it?
That didn't, but the man who made it went on to win an Academy Award.
Best
no.
Picture. He did win Best Picture eventually.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think this one was Rick. At one point I leaned over and I said, so high-level producers saw this movie and looked at him and said, yeah, I'll give you $1 billion to make The Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
here's 4 years of your life that you can go with a blank check and into New Zealand and make
whatever
some
you want.
See, if you think this one is bad, wait till you see Bad Taste, his first film.
Oh man.
And then the joy that is Dead Alive, or Brain.
You're gonna make us do off-brand Peter Jackson month, aren't you?
Oh man.
So anyway,
I'm sorry you had
to
experience that at 2 a.m.
It was a lot.
It's quite the film to have to take in at 1 a.m. and then be up the next day bright and cheery. I don't know why it was scheduled for that late. When I told them that I would do it for the late nights. Well, I thought it was going to be scheduled at like maybe 11 o'clock or something. But
yeah,
no.
Like a midnight showing, you know.
No, because nothing at midnight could go up against the ball drop. The ball drop had to happen at midnight. Nothing else could be up against it. So
they pushed it an entire hour.
Yeah.
The ball drop takes like this much time.
Yeah, the ball drop was like what, 7 minutes max?
Yeah, 10 minutes at absolute most.
We could have done Meet the Feebles at like 12:30, but no, they
could have done 12:15. Everybody would have been there. It would have been fine.
How many people came?
Honestly, there were probably
a good number of people in the room. Actually, we had one woman literally holding a cocktail, walked in, saw what was on the screen, walked out, and said, "Honey, guys, Feebles."
She did. It was really
That's
weird.
Fantastic. That's
I was like,
awesome.
Oh no, she knows.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this giant group comes in and flops down on the floor in front of the screen showing it and just park it.
That's fantastic. That's good stuff. I'm glad you got a chance to do that.
Now, AllCon was actually really great for Cult Cinema Catacombs. If you're listening and you were at AllCon, absolutely like reach out to us because you were really fun and we had a lot of fun talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
Both nights, because we had a pretty good turnout for the Saturday night, just sort of general Triple C panel.
Yeah, something that was supposed to only last 45 minutes actually lasted for 3 hours.
It was a long time. So, yeah, we had a lot of fun.
That's all con for you.
Yeah.
We did it.
And speaking of presence at conventions, I just found out that, I mean, we won't have a booth or any type of presentations or anything, but I get to represent the podcast at Texas Frightmare Weekend. Woo! I got a press pass.
We love it.
So you know what that means. I have to stand in line and meet Matthew Lillard and tell him about the magic that is Lillard Fair.
Yeah,
yes, and I think we should do it again. I honestly think we should find 3 new Lillard movies and at least do 1 month in the fall. Just bring it full circle, make it an annual event.
Ask him. Lillard what 3 of his movies we should
do. We are going to do Lillard Fair again. What 3 movies do you recommend we watch? Yeah.
Okay.
And honestly, you don't have to be in them. Hey, Maddie.
You just program a month of movies for us, Matt.
You could be in them. That's cool. You don't have to.
How great would it be to be like, this month is all movies programmed by Matthew Lillard?
He chose the film for us.
Truly, I would watch whatever he told me to.
Oh, well, sure. I would do whatever Matthew Lillard told me to do. Honestly, it's probably a problem.
Patron saint of our show.
That's right.
I can't wait to see the look on his face when we tell him we actually liked The Curve.
We liked all of those movies.
I was actually a little bummed out that didn't come up on the wheel because that was the one episode that month that I didn't do.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's such a weird.
Before I was full time.
It was
such an insane movie.
More fun than it deserved to be. It really was.
Oh, snap. Has it been a whole year?
Yeah.
And it
almost.
That's the movie I was talking about. That
it's
where
my
they had
anniversary.
Yep.
Let's watch Meet the Feebles.
Yes, let's watch Meet the Feebles. I mean, The Curve had a recreation of the Deer Hunter in it.
God,
the Meet the Feebles.
Shot for shot.
Not a dialogue. Meet God the Feebles has a shot for shot remake of the Deer Hunter in it, only with puppets. And Andy, when I'm talking about puppets, I'm talking about frogs that are made to kind of resemble Kermit the Frog, and then a bunch of like rodent Vietnamese,
very racist rodents,
racist Vietnamese with buck teeth and the straw hats.
It's real rough. I was like, wow, this is okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a problem.
Yeah, very problematic.
I'm watching it with my eyeballs, and I'm looking right at it.
Very problematic. So, speaking of which, of problematic stuff, This episode deals with
speaking of troubling action
for this one.
Yes. Yeah, we're definitely covering a problematic period, but also a sweet spot nostalgia period. And that was the period in the 90s where, for some reason, the psychic hotlines were the thing.
It was every commercial.
I mean, Nancy Reagan, when she was first lady, she had her own psychic, yep. in-house psychic and everything. And then all of a sudden, in 1991, we had the debut of Dionne Warwick and the Psychic Friends Network, which became these, like, I think these really solidified the power of the infomercial, because these were made to look like talk shows for a full half hour.
Oh, sure.
Well, and it's fake shit.
Cemented by good old fashioned racism with the sort of mystical, magical person from another country. I grew up with Walter Mercado more than anyone else.
Dionne Warwick. I mean, here's the thing is that a lot of people get a misconception about with the Psychic Friends Network is a lot of people after the Psychic Friends Network crashed and burned. It's like, well, what, didn't Dionne Warwick see it happening? Fuck you. She's not psychic.
She's not a psychic. Who said she's a psychic?
She's not the psychic.
She built a network of psychics.
Yeah, Current queen of the internet, Dionne Warwick.
Her and Linda Georgian is what built in. And then they for some reason lassoed, what's her face? Mama from Mama's Family.
Vicki Lawrence.
Vicki Lawrence. They lassoed her into it also. Yep. I mean,
it's called money. About that.
It's called money.
And then if that wasn't enough, then they got Vivica A. Fox to get involved with it. But the most, I think probably the most memeable, before the internet meme was a thing, and the most famous one was "Call me now, Miss Cleo."
It was the original meme.
Yeah.
Call me now.
Those were fascinating to watch.
311.
Did you just summon the band 311?
Yeah. Amber is my energy.
Amber is the color of my energy. I saw 311 five times live.
I am jealous because I unironically love 311.
I do too. They are. Have you seen their Tiny Desk concert yet?
Yes, it's
holy
so
shit.
Good.
It's good. Holy shit, Nick Hexum can still sing, and he's aging gracefully. He's easy on the eyes. And that motherfucker can still sing. Oh, it's great. It's
Amber
everybody.
Is the color of my energy. It is. Thanks to those gentlemen.
Chill.
So Miss Cleo had these, you know, shows. The infomercials that you could totally tell they were scripted. I mean, but people fell for it. And she crashed and burned also, but apparently there's a lot more to her story than we thought. So much so that HBO made a documentary.
I'm so excited because I really don't know that much about it. I just know she was there and then she wasn't.
You are in for a ride.
Because I wasn't really, like, I wasn't old enough to really understand any of the underneath stuff at the time.
Yeah. I mean, you love a good scam.
I love a good scam.
About scams and shit. So this is you. This is, I'm frankly shocked you haven't watched this.
I'm really glad you picked this for me personally, Roy. Thank you.
Well, see, I completely forgot about it. And when I was flumming through, see what was left on Max after, you know, the destruction happened. Yeah. And I saw it was on there. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about this. I haven't seen this yet. We need to do this with the show. And especially after watching that one about the cannibalistic serial killer from the Great Depression eating kids and seeing that they were recreating those events on film, I was like, oh, no. We're not doing that.
Yeah. This is more fun. This is more fun. I want. I'm sure Lacey thanks you and my cats thank you from all the Carpenter that I'm going to be yelling in the house throughout for a week.
I can't wait to just start shouting it at my child.
Carla!
Call me now!
Carla!
She already has to listen to a lot of psychic stuff because I listen to a lot of podcasts about people who will test psychics theories.
Mm-hmm. So she also standing kind of with the cards like this going, okay, so you know he cheated on you, and he's doing it with your mom, and they're doing it in your basement.
And then
she
just
didn't
like,
even look at the cards.
My favorite part of that bit, and you'll see it, is when she's done like fake reading, she'll look at dead down the barrel of the camera. Like, she won't say anything. She'll just be like,
yeah.
She like David Blaine's right into it.
And then all of a sudden, the David voice Blaine on the other end go. Literally, the other end on the voice will always go, oh my God.
Oh my God. And they're always like, I feel like it's always Jack McBrayer.
Yeah. It's that kid I keep sending you TikToks from.
My mom is obsessed with that kid.
I am obsessed with that child.
Yes.
I showed her. I listen to that kid. I watch him all the time.
That kid's great. The kid's great.
He went to school. He don't know how to make a two.
He's making the two. I'm just the hottest.
You know, just the hottest tea this kid is spilling on everybody.
I'm gonna draw a big two so that he can remember how to draw a two.
He's crying. He's just playing. He don't cry. He wants his book.
You don't lick ketchup. That's another one that she does.
He's like if Ross Perot was cute.
Sure, he is. Same age.
Close up. He's not going to say.
He's Benjamin Buttons, Ross Perot.
He's not going to say shit properly. Every time he's going to swear, it's going to be like he don't know what he's saying.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. He'll never be the adult that never finishes the end of a swear word.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, shit. What are you doing? That's going to be him in the future.
I want him to grow into that one TikToker that is a very femme southern guy that has a farm or a ranch, I guess. He has a variety of animals. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I love him too.
Very fit blonde guy.
Yeah. Usually wears a robe.
Yeah, that you'd be like, if you just saw him, you would never assume that he has like an ostrich. And that bitch has an ostrich.
He does. And I will never go to his home because of that fact alone. But
it's a big bird.
If 50 years from now, they decide, if television still exists, to reboot Will and Grace.
Yep, that kid's
they
in
need
it.
To tap him.
Grab him. Pull him up.
Yep.
Honestly, get him
He'll
now.
He'll be so famous by that point, it doesn't even fucking matter. That
get
kid.
Him now with current Megan Mullally and current Eric McCormick.
Riding a dog. Riding a Borshoi around.
Yes. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'd
look,
be a good show.
I can just see him right now riding it. Oh, look, I thought I smelled cunt.
She talks about her husband. She doesn't have a husband.
Yeah, she don't even know how to draw her tubes.
That's not a house. That's a barn.
I will be honest. The pre-internet 1-900 number craze. Not just sex.
All
of them.
But everybody. Had a 1-900 number.
There was that one that was just like, hey, are you lonely?
Yeah, there was one called the Cry Network.
Do you need to
cry? Dial 1-900 for cry.
Let me draw.
And all the pictures are like.
A 1-to-1. Let me draw a 1-to-1. 1-900 numbers are what we have for apps now. Mm-hmm. They're just apps. You know, everybody
that costs a lot more money than what apps do.
Yeah. Unless you're paying a subscription for them.
Unless you get in those in-app purchases. They'll get you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but if it wasn't 1-900, it was 976.
Freddy Krueger had one.
Ooh, mm-hmm. I got in trouble for that one because I dialed that one so much and I had racked up such a gigantic phone bill. Because of that Freddy Krueger online.
I think the Misfits had one at one point.
Wow. I never called any of them because I was so horrified of the idea that I might accidentally spend money of my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And there were times, I remember, I think it was Miss Cleo specifically, that I was like, okay, so if I have this timer, I had the little digital alarm clock with the red numbers that everybody had.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I set a timer, I can
just hang up.
I bet I can do it, and then I'll just hang up before they charge me. But I never did.
Couldn't bring yourself to do it because you were scared.
Too scared. I was too scared.
Then that's when you start seeing the thing of $2.99 for the first minute, 99 cents each additional minute, and yeah, they get you. And then if that wasn't enough, if if that wasn't enough, then before the advent of YouTube, we could select music videos that we wanted on the jukebox channel.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But we would have to pay like $3 each time. For a music video we wanted to watch. What killed me about the jukebox channel was the majority of it was all rap. Yep. And then it's like you were watching rap video after rap video after rap video. All of a sudden, here comes the Spice Girls.
It'd be, yeah, then or rap, it'd be like rap, the rap Proclaimers.
Here comes Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah. You know, it's so random.
Here's 500 miles for some reason, and then rap, 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 rap.
Right,
rap.
Right back into Luke. Mm-hmm. Right back.
And here's Babyface.
Here comes CB40 talking about, you know, talking about whatever he's doing. And then Tony Braxton.
And then Tony Braxton. Yep. Yeah, that's the problem. That's the real problem with democratizing anything.
Mm-hmm. That network was so...
It's the Proclaimers.
Jukebox channel.
Oh, it's the Proclaimers.
That's the problem.
Paradox, I guess.
Yeah, it's the Proclamadox.
The Proclamadox.
I'm taking that right now.
You
for
can
hair
have
loss.
It.
Yeah. Proclamadox? It's an ointment.
Yeah.
Are you struggling? Try Proclamadox.
Yeah. Just are you struggling? It doesn't matter for what.
Ask your doctor if Proclamadox is right for you.
Side effects.
Don't take Proclamadox if you're allergic to Proclamadox.
Side effects include painful rectal itch, hemorrhoids, and bleeding profusely from your penis.
Proclamadox.
Hey, I only have 2 out of 3.
All right, are we ready to go back to the 90s?
I can't wait.
Re-experience this moment in time.
Go back to my single-digit years. Let's do it.
Ever is the color of my energy.
Shades of gold display naturally.
Oh. You're not 46 years old. You actually remember the lyrics.
I love that song.
Go back.
I love you. I'm 11. Chill.
Also, spiritually, I am 46.
That's true.
Go back to the time where all of a sudden the Red Hot Chili Peppers decided to bring in Dave Navarro.
Yeah.
What were we doing?
Let's watch a movie.
Warning, a psychic reading can be powerful and life-altering.
Call me now. You realize that your life is not ever going to be the same.
Miss Cleo was a psychic advisor, and she read tarot cards.
If anyone watched TV after midnight, you knew who Miss Cleo was.
The best entertainment I could possibly imagine.
She had such a presence.
They didn't just want to hear about the future. They wanted what she gave. She gave you the truth.
But not everyone had the same experience.
The U.S. government really brought the hammer down against Miss Cleo for defrauding consumers. She was born in Los Angeles. She created this Miss Cleo character, which had a Jamaican accent.
There were a lot of people making money from this. And the more money they made, the more money they wanted.
As far as the company profits, Miss Cleo didn't appear she was getting any of that.
A lot of her life was such a mystery. Who's the real Miss Cleo? The web of stories, it seems, is far and wide.
Cleo may have been a character to cope with whatever was going on in her life, but it was still very real for her.
That's the enigma of this woman.
Was it performative? Yes. Was she actually trying to help people? Yes again.
They wanted me to create a character. I'm not a character, I'm a real person.
Don't be fooled by thinking what you know is the whole story.
Yeah.
Back into the land of the
river,
90s.
Ribbit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get it.
So, first of all.
Yeah.
I was questioning.
Cracking a cold
any
one.
Type, I was. I gotta admit.
Cold Steve Austin.
Gotta confess. I was about to question any validity coming out of this documentary when the first face we're greeted with was Raven Simone.
Hold on. That brings me to my first note. Why hasn't Raven Simone been given the keys to Hollywood? She's fucking amazing.
She's great, and she deserves to be able to be in this documentary.
Yeah.
So I knew that she was going to be involved, but then, after a few minutes, it made me realize, oh, Well, Raven Simone's on here because one, she played a psychic, and two, she was the age demographic who would really be affected by these, you know, infomercials growing up. So yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but then Deborah showed up looking like Hot Furiosa.
She was super cool. She looked really cool. I feel like a lot of times I'll see a cool celebrity and I'm like, man, I wish I could hang out with them. Yeah. I don't wish I could hang out with Deborah Wilson. I feel like I would be intimidated. I'm not cool enough.
Yes.
What I loved about it, because producer Chris watched this with me also, and the minute Deborah Wilson came on the screen, immediately out of his mouth, he's like, what the fuck happened?
She got really high quality tattoos all over her whole body.
She gauged out her ears, shaved her head, got some high quality tattoos. Just
so I just turned around and looked at him and I said, well, she is a cook who does voiceover work now.
Yeah.
And I was lying about the cook because I just wanted to give an excuse for the tattoos for him.
Probably cooks. I think that's fair.
I mean, when you're doing when you've decided your career's voiceover, look however the fuck you want to look.
I love the fact that there are two members of Mad TV who survived and went on to have better careers as voiceover actors.
Yeah.
So I love that.
Both wholly beloved.
Yes.
And I love when anybody from Mad TV makes good. You know, like for me, that's awesome. Like Keegan-Michael Key and Jordan Peele, Deborah Wilson, like any of those guys Bobby Lee at this point is super famous. Like, good for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like
I forgot that's where Bobby Lee started.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like SNL churns out, you know, it is a hit factory. You're going to make these people and they're going to be stars. Mad TV's over here doing it on the download DIY style, you know, so good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think with everything that was talked about in this documentary, which, by the way, I'm glad that they threw in not only some of the old commercials from the Psychic Friends Network, but also some of the old 976 1-900 commercials also.
I was like,
thank you for that.
Oh, the crying one?
Yeah.
That really got me.
The one story that was the biggest surprise to me was, I mean, I had a feeling that the true people behind the Psychic Network that she was the spokesperson for were shiesty, but I had no idea how much they also like ruined her as well.
Oh, yeah.
And just how much they stole from her and hid from her and just treated her like shit without her even realizing
it. All of it.
Yeah.
They let her take so all of it.
Even though, you know, she was the face and, you know, was hired to do what they needed to do, she was a victim as well. And that just blew my mind how she was also a victim.
Now, the way this started, I will say this kind of weird, scammy beginnings that she had, that shit right there is why people don't trust theater people.
Yeah.
Little hands, too.
Those little hands. We do have we're small-handed people.
Little hands.
Yeah, when they revealed that she was part of a theater troupe in Seattle, I was just like, oh, shit.
Yeah, of course she was.
And, you know, when the people all of a sudden realized that she took a character she created for that theater troupe and basically transformed herself, because even after this whole thing ended with the Miss Cleo Psychic Network, she still acted like Miss Cleo after it.
Pretty much.
She never portrayed herself.
She never broke kayfabe at all. She kept that character.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think every one of her friends is going to lie for her.
I think you're right.
Even dating her ex knew her as Miss Cleo, not, you know, anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. Her nephews.
Yeah. God, her godchildren.
Yeah. Her godchildren. Like, that's all of the, everybody strange. Was just Miss Cleo. She's Cleo, got the Jamaican Cleo. Accent. That's who she is. And she's really psychic. Weird. That was the thing for me, is like, nobody would come off of this thing and say they didn't think she was psychic.
They were all
like, I thought that was so strange. What did she do with these people, 2, 4, whatever, so that none of them light her ass up?
The people she worked with, her roommates, her exes, her...
Not even Spiritualist Julie. First name Spiritualist, last name Julie.
Spiritualist Julie.
Spiritualist Julie.
Even the diaspora expert was like, maybe. I can't tell you.
As a person who's never met her, I can tell you she wasn't. Nobody was. Ever.
I'm also amazed at how much, I mean, I didn't realize that she was lesbian herself.
I didn't either.
But I didn't realize just how much gay she surrounded herself with in her life also.
And what she did.
Wow. Yeah.
For the community.
What she did for the queer community. I was just like,
again,
right.
Yeah.
You take out the fact that she turned herself into Miss Cleo, everything she actually did.
Well, besides stealing money from the theater group, but she was very young.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, she still stole money from the theater group.
She started with the Talented Mr. Ripley thing, created a thing, stole a bunch of money, took off. Yes. And then that's the thing about both of those stories is like, and I didn't say this on the episode we just did about the woman who wasn't there. Yeah. It feels like, on both of these stories, so sociopaths made a decision that hurt people early. Mm-hmm. And then they spent the rest of their lives, or at least the rest of their lives that we know of, doing all kinds of amazing things while still being sociopaths and never dropping the kayfabe on those things. Like, I'm still Miss Cleo. I'm going to do everything I can for community awareness. Queer kids are going to be great. Like, I'm going to have these nephews that I hang out with and take care of, or these godchildren. I'm going to, I'm going to meet a woman from Minnesota, which was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I.
Bullshit, she didn't know who she was, by the way. I don't know a single soul in the face of
I don't know anyone who did not know who Miss Cleo was. I called bullshit on that also. Just like, then you just don't watch television, in other words.
You went out of your way to
You had it in Minnesota. Prince is in Minnesota. You had it in Minnesota.
Yeah, you had things. Mm-hmm. Bob Dylan was in Minnesota.
For 20 hours, 8 acts, Bob Dylan was in Minnesota.
But I did not also realize just how deep the con went. I knew it was a con. I didn't realize just how deep the con went with the scripts and the collecting of the personal information. Sure. And
you mean not her con?
No,
the general.
The network's con.
The psychic network con.
Yeah, how they were just like collecting all this personal data and doing everything they could to rack up $1,000 phone bills.
Well, they said that they had billed, before the lawsuit got finalized, they said they had billed what? And this is in 99?
Something like that.
99, yeah.
Over $1 billion in billables that they made in 99?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
So much money.
It's wild.
And just the people who were feeling guilty about having to keep people online, especially the ones who like were having legitimate midlife crisis and relationship crisis, and the whole entire time they're just sitting there thinking, okay, how much more money can I get out of this person? And it's just, I was just like, Jesus Christ. It kind of actually took me away from the con that Miss Cleo was doing and focused it on this. And I was just like, oh, Miss Cleo, yeah, she stole money from this theater troupe and made people think she was, this Jamaica woman who was a psychic. But that's
this
just
Jamaica woman.
Yeah,
this Jamaica woman.
But that's a hill of beans compared to what the fuck this company's actually doing. Paying Miss Cleo of it.
You know what's the real crime of this whole situation? Is the hacky fucking news.
That lawyer on the news. Oh, I've been waiting for that to come up. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the news and the
this doofy card and his goofy face. Ugh.
And I remember this at the time, and it was a core memory that unlocked every talking head on the news. She should have seen it coming.
Yes.
Oh my God. Everyone for weeks.
It was the same thing. It was the same thing with Dionne Warwick with the Psychic Friends Network. And yeah. Everyone was like, well, why didn't Dionne Warwick see this coming? And I was just like, well, Dionne Warwick.
She's not a psychic.
Fucking psychic. She's
her friends were psychic. It's called the Psychic Friends Network.
And they're like, yeah, Miss Cleo should have seen this coming and everything. And she was never the person you spoke to on the phone. No. She was just the spokesperson.
She's just the world's most obnoxious theater kid. That's all she is.
Call me now!
What it sounded like to me is she's the real life version of those aliens from Star Trek that always referenced a different thing, and that was just how they talked. She was Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra. That was their whole. Every time she talked about something, she was just actually referencing something else. And I think that's her whole life.
That's very funny. That's a good, that's a really good touchstone that everybody's going to understand.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Not just everybody here.
Yeah, including me, a person who only knows that much and Tribbles and nothing else about Star Trek.
And the salt vampire, because I've told you about the salt vampire.
You have told me about the salt vampire. Yeah,
but that was the original series. That wasn't Next Generation.
But now that we've gone through 100% of what I know about Star Trek.
We should have a separate podcast called Courtney Goes to 100% of What She Knows About a Topic.
They'd be really short episodes most of the time.
I was going to say, they would
put them on Quibi.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're our Quibi show. But I also love that they also focused on just how much she was ingrained in pop culture at the time, that, you know, everybody from Mad TV to even the fucking Disney Channel was making references to her because she had become such a pop culture phenomenon at that point. Just a spokesperson.
Well, it was definitely a part of my life growing up. It was when we would have sleepovers, we would like watch the long form infomercial. We'd watch the whole thing.
Honey, you need to leave that man because he's cheating on you.
Oh, woo! All that, yes.
I'm going on the radio and I'm going to be talking about this now on the radio.
It is really shitty they didn't pay her.
Yeah,
it is.
I couldn't believe they didn't pay her for that.
Because the thing about that is, who had more name recognition than her during that 4 or 5 years? No one. No one on the planet.
There was her and there was Walter Mercado, and that was it on TV as far as I was concerned. Legitimately.
God, Walter Mercado. Yeah. Oh my God. That's a documentary.
We were obsessed. We watched him after school. That is a really good documentary too. Bonus, that's your homework, listeners, is go and seek out whatever the name of the Walter Mercado documentary is.
I don't know who is Walter Mercado.
What?
I probably know. I just don't.
Oh my God.
He is the flamboyantly gay Hispanic
Puerto Rican psychic.
Psychic who would always come out dressed like he was Zsa Zsa Gabor.
He's like crazy capes.
No.
Oh my God. He would go through the horoscopes.
Was that a thing for you guys?
Was nationwide.
But you were in California at the time, weren't you, Roy?
We had Telemundo in California.
So yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah. I just didn't mean it was like not just a Texas thing.
So did you not have Telemundo there in Ohio?
No.
That's
not without. Oh, yeah, wow. Not without like satellite.
It was probably on like Univision as well.
No, at that time, absolutely not. Without like Dish Network and a satellite and an international package, it was
impossible. Oh, you missed out on some gold.
I have no idea. I'm going to have to
literally a lot of gold.
Yeah, a lot of gold. I guess the only other person at this time who would have the name recognition like that would be Tony Robbins. Yeah, then again, little, I mean, people, yeah, because people knew Tony Robbins not only from his motivational speaking, but from all those goddamn teeth of his.
Yeah,
he had so many teeth. He still does.
But God, yeah, you need to look him up.
Oh, Macrado. Man.
Oh God. Oh,
well, I will. Is there a documentary?
Yes, on HBO.
There is. It's actually really, really good.
Okay, I'm watching it. I'm going to catch up. Because that is a blind spot. Absolutely. No question asked.
Because, I mean, the difference between him and Miss Cleo is he didn't disappear because of any type of, like, exposure of a scam or anything like that. He just said goodbye.
Yeah, he said, I just can't do this anymore.
Yeah, he says, I can't do this anymore. I'm tired. Goodbye.
He was quite old. There's
there's a photo of him right there for you to see.
Holy shit. No, I have no
incredible
idea. Yeah. I have no idea.
It's like what if Doris Roberts was a Hispanic
kind of
psychic? You got him right there.
I remember.
Okay.
And I don't think anybody who listens is going to understand most of what I'm saying, but I would go home and play with my friend Maddie Bell every day after school. And whenever Walter Mercado came on, we all had to shut up.
Yeah. He was a fascinating figure.
It was time to listen to the horoscopes. And if you were playing too loud and you missed your horoscope, that is it for you.
Like, honestly, as children or as adults? I mean,
when
I was in probably fifth grade, are my main memories of this.
But that's not like their parents.
Also the adults.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, everyone in the house shut up
lockdown.
His persona and his flamboyance was on a Liberace level, but he was
I can feel it coming out of that picture at me.
Was not problematic like Liberace was. So, I mean,
not that I could tell.
Not that we know of yet. I mean, but yeah.
All right, I'm on it.
Anyway, back to Miss Cleo. Overall, I would say this documentary is really, maybe this is our underlying theme. It's a documentary that asks more questions than it answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because because you're at the end of it, you're just like, okay, how should we actually feel about this?
Yeah, how are we supposed to feel?
Playing Miss Cleo, because, yeah, she scammed people. She scammed this acting troupe out of money, and, you know, she was the face of this giant scam. And she knew it was a scam as well. But she was wronged by the scam. And she went on to do a lot of good afterwards. I mean, how
she's she's the only con artist who said one last con and then I'm going to hang it up and then did that.
And then hung it up.
Yeah.
She Ocean's 14 right out of there.
She did. Exactly. She was done.
Lived in a little house, and the fact that the only reason she was brought into the federal investigation was because her signature was on that one, like, collections letter.
Yeah.
Just one.
Yeah. Just one.
Which, like, did she even know what she was signing?
Like, probably not.
I don't think she did. I don't think she did. Yeah.
Like, that was
I mean, she didn't seem like her... It seemed like her young life education was pretty spotty, so there's a decent chance that she didn't know how to read a contract very well and stuff like that. So, like...
Right.
Was it? I mean, she had parochial schooling. I mean...
That's right, because they told her not to talk about it.
Who came from a parochial school, that shit shoved down your throat. So... Yeah,
when you...
Maybe
when
I'm wrong about it. I don't know.
But then when you're... When you're younger and you have an opportunity to do something big, because I'm guessing the contract wasn't when you, or maybe it was, like, just when you were going to go on TV for the first time. Like, when you were going to do your first infomercial, before you were a star, before it was a hit, you were just going to do an infomercial. Maybe they did have her sign a contract with all, you know, you're not going to get paid for any of this shit. Oh, well, it's just one thing. They're going to give me $400 or whatever to do this thing. So I'm going to do it. It's an opportunity to make some money. And then she became the face, but that contract was still the contract.
Right.
You know, so, like, there was no intention of it getting to where it got to.
Yeah.
And we know she can roll with anything. So, like, as it grew, she just grew with it.
she just wasn't gonna. Yeah. Yeah,
it was one of those things where it's just like, there's a line in the producers where they say, you know, we'll let you know when we get in too deep. And you just wonder just how much further was she going to roll with it before she realized she got in too deep.
Yeah.
It didn't seem like she realized at one point that she got in too deep until it was too late.
Yeah, she was.
What?
She was just like Leo Bloom. She was hugging her knees saying, no way out. No way out.
Well, I think she wanted to be famous. She was an actress. She was a play. You know, she wrote play. She was an actress. She produced. She wanted to be famous. She got famous. Sweet, I'm famous. I can parlay this into something else.
Yeah.
Well, and she seemed like a perfectly cromulent director based on the footage of the play that she did do.
Yeah.
It looked like it was well rehearsed.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel bad. I didn't expect to feel bad for her coming out of this thing, but yeah. I did. Like, again, it's like The Woman Who Wasn't There, where I was waiting the whole time for the drop. You know, right. I was waiting for how much money she stole or, you know, what she did.
Here's the half an hour where we ripped them to shreds.
Here's what's hiding in her basement or something like that, you know.
Nothing. Here's what's hiding in her basement. She went into queer activism and was really, really powerful at it and took care of people and had a girlfriend from Wisconsin that she loved. And then she died. The end. What?
Turns out the only skeleton in her closet is the one we all already know about.
Yeah.
that we saw on television. So. Yeah.
And we found out that that wasn't even the skeleton we thought it was, which was the big scam. You know, like, it was, I felt really bad for her at the end. Both times I watched it.
I felt bad for Miss Cleo also, because, I mean, she had questionable scruples, but in the end, she was wronged as well.
Yeah.
And she went on to actually do something good with her life for the betterment of others after, you know, being the face of this scam for so long.
Yeah.
So kind of like a redemption arc.
Good choice, this one.
Yeah, I wish the documentarians had landed a little harder on one side or the other at the end of it with their editing.
Yeah, I get that.
Does that make sense? Because they just kind of let it sit.
Well, that's HBO documentaries for you.
That's true. So,
yeah.
They do just kind
of. It's that Vice style of documentary. Yeah.
They don't want to tell you what they think necessarily.
Yeah. No.
They're presenting the story.
It's like those old school films that you used to watch in school. And it's like, what do you think? And, you know, there's no resolution. You have to guess what the revolution is. And whatever your answer is the right answer. So, we have one more episode this month, and then I will do the big reveal of what miniseries we're going to be watching for the month of May. However, I want to reveal to you all now what the big bonus selection is that we're going to watch. It's only an hour long. And it is diving into a form of television that Mr. Farmer absolutely loves.
Oh, and, you have
and that is the variety television special.
Ooh.
Someone found on VHS a copy of this and uploaded it onto YouTube with commercials.
With commercials.
I love commercials. The commercials. I love the commercials.
We are going to be watching the Jessica Simpson Nick Lachey variety special.
I've seen it.
So good. I've seen it.
I never get to say that.
It's so good. Oh my God. It's so good.
So this is making the news again because of this clip of Jessica Simpson singing with Jewel. And she's singing like, trying to be all like serious and singing. And Jewel next to her is giving me this look like, she can sing.
They fully made fun of that directly in the most recent season of Girls 5 Eva. If you have not seen it, you've got to watch
awesome. It. That's awesome. That is
so
awesome.
Good. Right. I swear that's the exact touch point that they're doing. And it's Busy Phillips being the Jessica Simpson.
Of course it's Busy Phillips.
So good.
Absolute national treasure.
But yeah, someone uploaded it online. I was like, oh shit, we got to do this. We've got it because Jessica Simpson and Nick Lachey was such a iconic pop culture moment of the 2000s that we've got to touch on it.
I don't like that we're talking about the 2000s like it was so long ago.
We're talking nostalgia about the 2000s.
That hurts. That hurts bad on the inside.
Yes.
That sucks
that it was almost 25 years ago.
Sucks real bad. But I'm excited to watch it again. For sure.
Imagine what it feels like to have 12-year-olds talk about their dress that they got. I got it at this really cool vintage Y2K shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, you mean gadzooks.
Yeah, you. Yeah,
you're just talking about
you meant Forever 21, right?
Current Forever 21.
Yeah.
All right, gang.
By the way, don't walk into those stores right now.
Oh, we did.
No, we did. Yeah, on accident when we went to see Rad.
We did when we went to the.
Don't go in public where there are children.
Oh no, it's very upsetting. Oh.
It's horrifying right now. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
The oversized Betty Boop shirts are back in full effect.
The Natalie Imbruglia, as I call it, is back in fashion.
It's like walking into an LFO video shoot at this point. It is rough. Life is rough.
You know what I'm waiting to see? I'm waiting to see the Christina Aguilera dirty jeans come back.
Yep.
You just said it. You said it on a mic and everything.
You know what I haven't seen? I haven't seen a lot of like the puka shell necklaces yet. That's coming. That's coming.
Time. Bisexual fashion will come back. Don't worry.
Oh, well, for some of us, it never left.
All right, gang. On that note, tune in next time when we discuss the Aristocrats, not the Aristocats. The Aristocrats.
But also sometimes the Aristocats.
Yes. If you're Paul Reiser.
Yes.
And please email us at cultcinemacatacombs@gmail.com with all your questions, concerns, suggestions, whatever. And again, join us in the Taffy Pit on Discord May 11th when we will be watching the film Roar and giving out some prizes.
Listener alert. The online Roar viewing party experience in Discord's date has been changed to Saturday, September 25th. For any questions or concerns, please email us at cultcinemacatacombs@gmail.com. Thank you.
And until then, we'll talk to y'all later.
GeoCities.
Woo, bye.
Your free tarot reading.